We'll read responsively as we normally do from Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper.
The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away.
Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. As spoken of before, when I used to mainly or exclusively do the psalm meditation, that Psalms 1 and 2, which are unattributed, are kind of like the gateway, the gate pillars to the book of Psalms. The first deals with the godly, the righteous, in contrast to the ungodly and the wicked. It's one great theme of the psalm. The second psalm deals with the mediatorial king, the Lord Jesus Christ in his kingly role. And that is a prominent theme, the two prominent themes in the book of Psalms. This is not to say, of course, that there are some psalms which speak of Christ and others do not. No. Jesus himself made it very clear that all of the Psalms speak of him, as we read in Luke chapter 24, verse 44. And so as we look at Psalm 1 here, we will want to see Jesus in this psalm, as we read it, as we meditate upon it, and as in moments we shall sing from it. I want us to see, first of all, that there is a contrast here in the characters of the godly and the ungodly. We see especially the character of the godly in the first three verses here. We see that he walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Here is his character. Now, it would be easy to take up a lot of time developing this. As a matter of fact, just this morning when I found out that Larry was sick and not able to do the meditation this morning, I went to sermonaudio.com, did a look up on sermons by Bible passage, hit Psalm 1, and there are a ton of sermons on there. Some of these sermons and lectures going for nearly an hour and a half. And I'm sure each one of those was not exhaustive. We're only going to spend a few moments, so this will afford you something to meditate on your own about. But here is the character of the godly, one who is not like the ungodly. There is, in the true believer, a stark difference in his character from his ungodly neighbors and from his formerly ungodly self. This is in contrast to the character of the wicked. The character of the wicked is very quickly put there in verse 4. They are not so. They are not this way that we've just read about in verses 1 and 2 there. They are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Their works, their exalted plans, they go poof in the breeze. We could change the image a little bit to make it more, well, how can I put this, not relevant, but we could use an illustration from today's weather with the snow that came up at around 6:30 here. And now the snow is pretty well stopped. It's turned into freezing rain. But in the interim there, was being blown about, the snow was. There may have been in your front yard zillions of snowflakes, yet against the wind, they were nothing. They were driven away, piled up someplace else. That pile itself is blown along. It is irresistible by these snowflakes. Were the snowflakes living and sentient beings, they could plot and scheme, thinking, there are zillions of us, not one alike. We in our diversity can forge an alliance against anyone who stands against us. But the wind comes, and poof, they're gone. So it is with the wicked. They're like the chaff which the wind drives away. I think maybe you children know what chaff is, although not enough of you live on farms to be able to really have seen this all this often. But perhaps you children can remember last fall when people were harvesting beans. And there was dust all over the place from where the combines were going along. Or maybe you can remember early last summer, in late June, when the wheat was being cut. Dust everywhere. Back of the combines. What is that? That is the chaff that is being blown away. Now, this is the character of the two in contrast. There are two different ends as well. What is the end of the godly? That is seen in verse 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The end of the wicked is found in verse 5. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Now, I've been talking all this while, talking about the godly and the ungodly, their characters and their ends, and I said there'd be something about Jesus here. Well, we don't see the name of Jesus. But let us consider this. How is it that you, believer, are not what you once were? How is it, believer, that you have been changed? It is because of something very unusual that happened. There has been one, since the fall of Adam and Eve, whose character is perfectly described in these first two verses, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He did not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, stand in the path of the sinner, sit in the seat of the scornful. His delight always has been in the law of his Father, and in his law he has meditated day and night. That was and is his holy character. But what was his end? He did not get to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. No, rather, as the scriptures say, he was hung from a tree. How could such a thing be? And we, who are believers, what had been our character? We were not so. We were too, like the chaff which the wind drives away. Yet what is our end? Well, our end should be not standing in the judgment. Our end should be excluded from the congregation of the righteous. But it is because Jesus, as Paul writes, because Jesus, who knew no sin, was made sin for us. In his substitutionary atonement there at the cross, it is because of that that suddenly things are realigned. He endured the wrath and curse of his Father, legally having the guilt of his people's sin placed upon him. He received all that we might receive the reward of his perfect obedience. We often think of his substitutionary death, but his life was lived for us as well. And when he had paid all, when he said, "It is finished," at that time, an event that was to occur in a few days was assured. Death could not hold him. because sin was paid for. The wages of sin is death, but if the payment is made, how can sin hold in the grave any longer? And so it was that Jesus rose victoriously, being shown, as Paul says in writing to the Romans, that he is shown by his resurrection to be the Son of God. And so it is, friends, that in here is encapsulated the results, the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. His doing, his dying, his resurrection has brought life to us and our rejoicing. He who was hung upon the tree but was raised again on those first, on the first of the New Testament Sabbath, has made us to be like trees planted by the rivers of water, has made us to bring forth our fruit in season to the glory of his Father, who has made our leaf not to wither, and has made our works to prosper, and when we come to rest, to follow after us. Well, let us give glory to this one who has died that we might live, and who lives again now, assuring us of eternal life. We will use the first version, Psalm 1, version A.